father of Abraham, the father of Isaac, and the father of Jacob. Here you once again, dear God, that we, a few of your former and humble servant, has come together in prayer one more time, Lord, calling on your name. Lord, we come calling on you this morning because we need you in times like this, Lord. We can't make it without you. We need you, Lord, to help us to bear our burden. And I realize, Lord, sometimes our burden, they get so heavy. I know, Lord, if we would just call on your name, everything's going to be all right. And now, Lord, as we come together, I pray that, Lord, that you will be in our midst, that you will crown our head with wisdom, knowledge, and a better understand that word, that we'll be able to do your will, that we'll be able to tell the dying world that the way to sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you look down on Pastor United this morning.
Yes,
Lord, bring us close together, that bring us so close together that, Lord, that no one or anything will be able to come between us. But Lord, let us be on one accord because you said in your word, for there's two or three together, the church agreed on the same. Lord, you told you'd be in our midst. And I pray, Lord, that you come on our midst this morning. Shine, let the light shine now, Lord, like it never happened before. That we'll be able to lift up and praise your name. That somebody might come crying out, what can I do to be saved? Please, Lord, have mercy. According to your loving kind, Lord, according to your tender mercy. Blot out all of our transgressions. Renew our church, God, and give us a clean heart that we might not sin before thee. Then, Lord, I pray that you bless this food that we're about to see. Remember the old Lord that take time out of prayer. Lord, I pray this food that we're about to see. That be you for us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's eat.
Thank you for those of you who have not eaten. And we're going to get started, if you don't mind.
Coffee's at the back table there.
I asked her,
where all those people are.
She's at QVC.
She's
at the
store
Macy's.
Hey, how you doing, honey?
She was here. I got a chip out in the middle, so if I'm walking out, it wasn't because, you know, I didn't
know. Okay.
I know you love me. It's all right.
I want to welcome everyone.
Thank you.
To our Faith Leaders Breakfast here, sponsored by Pastors United. We're also working with a couple of entities, the county board members, SEIU, and Local 112 here at the Teachers Union. And we have come together here for some pretty important information today. Very important. And I'll let Supervisor David Bowen talk to you about that. But I'm glad to see everyone here.
Amen.
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 But, you know, before we get started, I want to do one thing. I have the chairman of the county board here with us. And
all right, now
I'm going to try to get this name right.
Just say Marina.
But it's Marina Dmitrievich. Is that pretty good? Let's give her a hand.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Marina Dmitrievich, our county board chairwoman here in Milwaukee County, and you'll get to know a little bit more about what's going on from County Supervisor David Bowen, a very impressive upcoming leader, and we're extremely happy to have him leading what is an important movement here on the Milwaukee County Board. So, yes. So, what I wanted to do I just walked over from the county courthouse because I heard that you were going to be here today, and I wanted to really welcome you and say hello and talk about partnerships. I think that's what we're talking about today in many ways. And we all know from the great work that you do what we can do when we're working together. And I thought it'd be important that you hear from me as the leader of the county board that I absolutely support what Supervisor David Bowen is doing here with the Living Wage Movement.
Amen. All right. All right.
I'm really happy to be part of it. I'm a co-sponsor. He is really taking charge, so showing some exceptional leadership, and we're going to need your help. Already we've seen by just discussing the living wage out in the media, already we have the Business Journal, the businesses, and other people already bringing up negatives about how we cannot do it. We cannot do it. It's not the time. I mean, we've heard this all before. I'm sure you've heard in a lot of the things that you work on. Well, you know, the time is now. We can't afford to wait any longer. And I'm so sick and tired of them saying, you know, it's not the right time. When is the time? Later? When people fall into such poverty that we can't even help them up? No, no way. And so the Milwaukee County Board stands united, and me as a leader, I'm going to work with David Bowen. We're going to do everything we can to get the votes, to get this going forward. And I'm so happy that we're talking about the issue. We're talking about it in our community, and we have leaders standing up for what is right. After all, that is what we believe we're supposed to be doing in government. We have a role to play with you all, especially as you do your work on the ground in the community, and that is to help people who need the most help. So with that, I want to say thank you for all the work that you do. Know that you have partners in Milwaukee County government, and I'm very proud to have David Bowen on the county board. And together with our other county board supervisors, as well as all of you in the community, we can really rise up and raise up Milwaukee County. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we come here to take care of business today. We're not going to be here all day. We're going to have a little breakfast, and we're going to take care of the business, and we're going to be out of here because we know that your days are busy, and we have no desire to waste your time. But we do have some business to take care of. We've already prayed, but I just want to share a scripture with you here, if you will. It's from Nehemiah in the fourth chapter and the verse 19 and 20 this time, Pastor. And I want to share this with you. And the word reads, "And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." Thus ends the reading of the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have someone to welcome us here to MATC this morning.
Amen.
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 Marietta, you want to welcome us?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Marietta Love, and on behalf of the 1,500 members of the American Federation of Teachers, Local 212, I want to welcome you to MATC. MATC is proud to host Pastors United because we are this community's college. We are proud that we provide our students with the education that they need to pursue family-supporting jobs. But we know that education in and of itself and training are not enough. This community needs a living wage ordinance to ensure that companies that receive public dollars pay their workers a living wage.
Amen.
Why do we need a living wage ordinance? Because Milwaukee has a good jobs crisis. Too many of our people, if they can find work at all, don't earn enough to support their families doing that work.
Amen.
A county's living wage ordinance will lift the wages of workers who work for firms that contract with the county and establish community standards for good jobs. Over 125 communities around the country have living wage ordinances on the books already. The living wage ordinance is very simple. When county tax dollars are used to contract for services or to subsidize development subsidies, the companies receive public support must pay a living wage, a wage that lifts the workers and their families out of poverty without relying on public assistance. So I welcome you here today, and I bid you Godspeed as you do the groundwork to make this happen.
All right.
Thank you. I guess you should kind of let the cat out of the bag. We're here today to talk about an ordinance that Supervisor David Bowen is presenting to the board, and he's going to explain that to us right now. I've been working with Mr. Bowen, and believe me, he's such a serious supervisor. He takes his job very serious, and he doesn't smile much. At least not with me. I don't know if that's personal or not, but he's a very serious young man, and you know, he has the potential to go a long, long way in this political arena here. And he's probably somebody we could probably support, because the stances that he takes are usually to our advantage.
All right.
And he's very careful about what he does, so when he does take a stance, we know that he's thought it through completely. Young, vibrant, intelligent, intellectual, it's just a pleasure to work with him and to have him on our side. I want to introduce to some and present to others our County Supervisor, David Bowen.
Good morning, Pastors United.
Good morning.
I come to you today with a proposition. Not just to do some speaking, not just to do nothing about the issues that plague our community, but to really present an opportunity to do right by the people in this community who work hard, who aren't asking for a handout, who aren't asking for you to give them anything. They're saying they are willing to work for it. And that's the community that I come from. I come from a community of hardworking people who day in and day out put in hours and hours and energy and more energy, even when they are tired, to work hard to provide for their families. Some people want us to believe that our community is full of people that are lazy. Some people want us to believe that our community is full of people who don't care. But the individuals that I know and I see on a daily basis, they don't want to foreclose on their homes. They don't want to have a situation where they can't feed their children. They don't want a situation where they are having insecure situations and circumstances for their family. They want the best. But a lot of them work in low-wage jobs, jobs that don't pay that much. Now, the argument is, well, isn't it because they're uneducated? Isn't it because they're young? isn't it because they don't have much work experience? The statistics show that these individuals have a lot of work history on average, have a lot of age. These are usually middle-aged individuals, a lot of seniors that work in these jobs. That should be retired, by the way. A lot of individuals that have different levels of education, high school and college, right? So when I look at the situation, the dire situation of poverty in Milwaukee, where you have the fourth poorest community in the United States of America, one of the richest countries on earth, how did we get here? Because if I look at the history books, I don't see a Milwaukee with hundreds of foreclosures and people out of work and people who didn't make enough to provide. When I look at the history books, I see individuals that worked for companies that were willing to invest in them, companies that were willing to pay them a fair wage, a good wage, and to also provide them retirement benefits, healthcare benefits, benefits that a lot of individuals today don't have access to. So I know that I can't change everything in one law, and I know I can't save everyone in one policy, but I know that we can make a huge difference on what we have the power to control. And in Milwaukee County, we have the power to make community benefits a requirement for county dollars, period. We're not talking about the private sector. We're not talking about everybody that works in Milwaukee County, although I'd love to have that power. I would love to have that power, but I do not, and the county board does not. Back in, I believe, 2005, a state law under Chapter 104 was created, which was a minimum wage law, and it repealed any city, village, or town, or county living wage ordinances placed before June 16th of that year. That chapter excludes public work projects governed by prevailing wage rates, service contracts, and any work funded by financial assistance provided by a city, village, town, or county. What that tells me is that wage is a statewide issue when you are creating a wage for a whole community. But local governments have the power to create whatever agreements or requirements tied to their own money. So today we're talking about service contracts with Milwaukee County. Companies that hire workers to be janitors. Companies that hire workers to be security guards through those service contracts with Milwaukee County. Under this ordinance change, which I'm proposing for you to support, we changed the Milwaukee County living wage to apply to all units, divisions, offices, and departments and or quasi-public entities using public funding for or financial assistance. That means if you have a contract to lease space with the county, you would be required to pay a living wage. If you have a land development contract, if you're buying land from the county and you are receiving financial assistance, you are required to pay a living wage. Now, some people might ask, well, what is a living wage? The city of Madison, the county of Dane County, and the city of Milwaukee already have the living wage ordinances. Living wage ordinances, as stated before, have already been implemented all over the country. We count 140 municipalities. Milwaukee County actually has two living wage ordinances that don't apply to this area. But the people that are skeptic are saying, oh, this is brand new. Oh, hold your horses. You know, let's not do anything to mess anything up. But this is not new, and it has been done before, and it is proven that living wage ordinances aren't negative on the economy, and it's not negative on business. But it does require those companies that employ those individuals to pay a certain standard. I'll give you a good example. I had a chance to listen in on a company that has a janitorial contract with the county. There was a worker that worked for that company 9 years. Elderly, senior in her higher 50s, low 60s. She, through those 9 years, received a quarter raise. Wow. In those 9 years that she worked for that company. So I want us to be very clear on what we're trying to do. If you raise the wages of these workers that are on the bottom, you can no longer argue that it's not possible to pay those workers that high, because it's very possible. And it also challenges companies to figure out what their profit margins will be. Some people say, well, this will just raise taxes. Not entirely true. This will just increase the cost of the service. Not entirely true. These companies need to reflect on the profits that they are taking in, which usually goes not to the workers,
come on now,
but to the people at the top of those companies. So, in Milwaukee County, we want to create a standard and say, if you are employing people in Milwaukee County, according to the U.S. Department of Health, federal poverty line, you cannot pay people lower than that line.
Okay.
Because that line estimates how much it costs for an individual family, one, two, three, or four, how much it costs to live. We've seen that the cost of living has increased, but the wages of these workers have not. But yet the people at the top of those companies, their wages continue to increase. So this is a moral issue. And if I'm not mistaken, in the Bible that I read, it talks about how you treat the poor. It talks about how you treat workers fairly.
Okay.
And I believe it says give them the wage that they earn.
Okay.
James, Leviticus, one of those. Okay. I did read in there. Now, like I said, this is the opportunity to give those workers what they earn. We're looking at a range to propose to the county board between 110% of the federal poverty line for a family of four, which would be $12.44 an hour, or trying to see if that can be increased, including compensation. You have the cost of health care, you have the cost of other things that companies can pay for workers, and we're saying you can even add additional costs, but having that as the base. Other people say, won't this hurt certain businesses? There are minority companies with the county. There are small companies with the county. What about them? We plan to enforce this living wage ordinance through our own Department of Audit. The Department of Audit will have the opportunity to create waivers for companies where this won't apply. I know Alex, who's a shoeshine worker at the county, and he and his father have a shoeshine business, World Shine. We want to make sure that since they aren't paid on hourly wages, they're paid on commission. This ordinance really can't apply to them. We want to make sure that those small companies are protected. And then there are also exclusions. There will be exclusions for people that are already in unions. There will be exclusions for student employees, people in apprenticeships, people in job training programs. So it won't be just a rigid policy. I believe the pastor said, I kind of looked into this to make sure that it was correct. It was funny when I was reading the article in the Business Journal where they blast County Supervisor Bowen for saying he can stop poverty and just raise taxes. But they forgot to account that I looked at every angle of this policy.
Okay.
Right? So, essentially, we tie standards to those contracts. And like I said, the city of Milwaukee, the city of Madison, the city, the county of Dane already have these ordinances on the books. This is about getting Milwaukee County in line to support our own workers. What type of community would we have if our own workers, paid with public dollars, are trapped in the poverty and can't pay for the things they need to support their families? Well, you're looking at it right now. We're seeing massive foreclosures caused by banks that use predatory practices, usually on low-income people in poverty, right? People of color, right? And we're seeing a community that is crying out for help. Who will stand up for these workers who are continuing to see the short end of the stick all the time? And I intend that this living wage ordinance is something that they can say somebody stood up for them.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
So I think the great thing is that with proposals come questions, and I want to have a conversation with pastors of Pastors United, answer any questions you may have about the policy, and clear anything that you might have, and then also get your insight on supporting this as a whole group, as a continuum that you can bring this back to your congregations, bring this back to the people that you engage with, and encourage them to contact their county supervisors, to contact those organizations in the community, and getting them to sign on as well. So I'll take questions at this time, Reverend. That's fine. Okay, and we do have two testimonies? I think we have two. So we'll allow them to know they have to get back to work, right? Because they got to work. They want to work. So I'm going to get out their way so that they can speak in front of you as well, and then I'll come back to the mic. I'll both of you come up.
This is,
I believe, Teron.
Teron Aaron.
Yes.
And Deirdre. Did I say that right? Deirdre. Okay. Sorry about that.
Hello, everybody. My name is Teron Aaron. I do home health care work. And at times, like, I find myself, like, choosing between, like, important things such as, like, should I pay rent? Or, like, do I need food more? So I have to go out without, like, eating maybe. And then I do receive like food share, but that doesn't really cover me to eat like from 1 month to the next. So I find myself having to like find other ways to get money for food. And then I had to like go take out a loan. It's like an 800% interest rate like on the loan. So, and then I'm behind in that too. So, and they're talking about taking me to court to sue me for like for the whole life of the loan plus lawyer fees and things like that. So, it's like hard, you know. I mean, I make money, but it's not enough to like put me like ahead of just being like comfortable, you know, knowing that I can not have to worry about basic things that I need and not being able to have those basic things. Yeah. So I'm gonna keep it short. So yeah, that's like a little story of mine. You know, it's just a little bit, but there are like more things that I can talk about. I can go on and on and on. You know, but that's just something that I wanted to share with you all. Okay.
Atlanta. I work at Prospect Airport Services. I'm not ashamed to say I make $5.25 plus tips. Sometimes, like during the holidays, tips can be great. Right now is a slow period. I'm not making enough. I have two girls.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Talk to me. I work every day. It's hard when you work full time. You still can't even make your rent.
Come on now.
I'm behind on rent right now. Thank God I got an understanding landlord who works with me. Got a daughter all the way in South Dakota. Mom, you need some money? Thank you, Jesus, for her. You know, so it's very important that we get this law passed.
Right. Yes. Come on now.
You know, they keep saying the living wage and, you know, like the companies that working on county land, they say public funds. Aren't my tax dollars part of that public fund?
That's right.
Yes. Should we get any more money?
Yes.
You know, I was on W-2. I'm just making a little bit over what I made on
W-2. Come on now.
Every day.
Okay.
Some people say, why don't you find another job? Well, I have two girls. Okay? I'm not going to work two jobs. Who's going to mother them?
Come on now.
Those same people complaining about the way our children behave, that's because you got all these single mothers working two or three jobs.
Yes,
nobody's raising
them.
Pay us more. We need a living wage increase. That way I can make enough money working full-time during the day while they're at school. I'll be home in the evening and help my girls with homework.
That's right.
I'm not ashamed to say I'm 47 years old. I want a house.
Come on now, right.
You know, I want some savings for my future.
Yes.
We don't get raises at birth. I don't have no sick pay, so if I get sick and miss 2 days, oh my Lord. We don't have any benefits. So my whole thing is, okay, I'd like to put something aside. But how you gonna put something aside if you don't got nothing? You know, you can't make something from nothing. I pay my rent and my phone bill. And I have to pay internet because my girls, I'm not home in the evening. I need that to help them do their homework. Now, my electric bill, not ashamed to say they about to shut it off. I said, I can't pay it. I don't have it. Literally, I don't have it. You know? So this living wage increase will allow me to pay my rent on time, pay my bills on time, get myself out of debt, and then put a little bit aside, hoping to make my down payment before I hit 50. That's my goal.
Yes.
I want to build a house. You know? Thank God for this man. He's doing a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And again, I want to say thank you to all of you for supporting us, and God bless.
Amen. Yeah.
I know y'all feel that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of needs in our community, and there are a lot of good companies that support their employees, but there are also some bad ones.
Yeah.
And we need to check them.
That's right.
I was appalled, because I didn't finish the story, I was appalled when I was in committee, and there was a janitorial company that pays their workers $8.50 an hour, gives wages every nine, giving higher wages every 9 years, right, of a quarter, and then also have the nerve to charge these workers $10 a sheet for employment verification records. And then charge them for their own uniforms. Charge them for everything that they can apply to them. And these workers are working what they call supplemental part-time jobs. So these supplemental part-time jobs are when workers work 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 30 hours of paycheck. Before taxes, it's about $250 every 2 weeks. After taxes, you get very close to $200. These workers are getting close to $400 a month. Whoa. Trying to pay to provide for their families. And if you know this economy, you know there are some jobs missing.
Yeah.
There was somebody who promised 250,000 jobs.
Yeah.
To this day, we don't see those jobs.
Right.
To this day, we don't see the financial money that they sent back to D.C., so we couldn't have a train here. If you think this is all coincidence, that workers are just getting the short end of the stick and jobs are not being created in the Milwaukee area, but they continue to pop up in Waukesha, and there is no public transportation to get people to those jobs. How do we expect people to survive? How do we expect people to pay for the things they need to pay for? So this clearly hurts our community. And what I am clearly just saying is that I need your help to help get this passed. I need 12 votes out of the 18 on the county board. I got a lot of support. I got some people hanging in the balance. And I got some people opposed. And I'm very close to those 12 votes. Very close. But we need to make sure all the supervisors understand, and the county executive understand, what this could do for our community. Amen. We're talking about spending power.
Amen.
And a lot of people talk about, well, the black community has a lot of spending power, which we do. But it's a reason why it comes in our hand and goes out the other.
Same, brother.
Come on.
It's a reason why we can't hold on to those dollars.
Come on.
Now, I push my black people all the time to make sure they're spending the money wisely.
Okay.
But when I have an individual making $400 a month trying to support their family, you can only stretch that $400 out so
much. That's right.
So I want to take any questions that you guys may have for me, and I know you have some other people, other things on the agenda. And if anybody has any questions, we'll take questions. Go ahead.
Where does the county exec stand on this?
The question was, where does the county exec stand on this? In the media, he has said that he is open-minded and wants to see details. What that tells me is, Supervisor Bowen, give me the details so I can tear your piece of legislation up. And I can make points on why we shouldn't do it. So I've been very tight on who I've been working with.
Can I have a follow up, please?
I had a good time on the Mike Boucher show.
Okay.
And that was a really good interview. And I encouraged the county executive on that statewide show to seriously consider this proposal. So he hasn't stated that he opposes it or opposes it, but he's in the he's just waiting for details to come out. So he'll see the details once it is introduced.
My question is, what, when you tell us to support it, what do we technically really have to do? Because in our community, we do a lot of conversation and communication, but we don't do what's necessary to make things happen. So is it writing? Is it calling? Is it, what do we do?
Okay. Question is, what do we do? First, I see that you have a handout with some dates of maybe some coordinating events with Pastors United, Liberty Way, Sunday, testify at the public hearing, mobilize the county board's level. Okay. I know maybe the Reverend will go through that. So it looks like there needs to be some coordinating on your part to make sure that you are using your numbers. If there's anything that I learned from community organizing is that your power is in your numbers. They might have money, but money cannot buy numbers. And we know that we have numbers, so we just need to emphasize that. The number for the county board is 278-4222. 278-4222. You can get connected to any supervisor at the county board at that number, and you can pass that on to your congregations, and they can contact their own county supervisors. And I think it's also important that we target certain supervisors too, right? So I know the media is here, but I know there are supervisors on the board that need a little bit of pressure.
I got you.
Okay.
And I love every single one of the members on the county board. I do.
Okay.
But I will say that County Supervisor Deanna Alexander, a supervisor that represents a district that is a majority of people of color, needs to truly represent the experiences and the views of the majority of people of color that live in her district that are low income, that are struggling, and that need to see this policy increase and see this policy pass. So Supervisor Deanna Alexander represents a district on the northwest side, Capitol, 60th and Capitol area, Johnny Thomas's old seat. So Johnny Thomas's old district, that is the district that she sits in.
Okay.
How many do you need of us there on November 7th?
I think the better question is where the votes will be by November 7th. If the votes are locked in, we're good. If the votes aren't locked in, we need everybody we can get. So November 7th will be an important day, and I think at this point we can't take any chances. People need to know that this is an issue that is very crucial to pushing this community forward.
Second question. Mm-hmm. Does your livable wage also cover their fringe benefits?
It does not. It depends on what the final ordinance change will be and what kind of supervisors agree with at that level of wage. Like I said, proposed, we're looking at 110% at 1244 or 125% at 1415. A lot of county supervisors are weary on going too high, and we need to make sure that it's something comfortable that they are comfortable with, that companies can keep up with as well. But this by no means isn't, you know, we're not taking a mile ahead of what workers being paid now. We're increasing it slightly. So even the janitorial contract that I signed in 2009, you know, they had part-time workers working at $9.75 and full-time workers working at $10.75 at minimum, right? That this $12.44 number at 110% is a slight $2 increase from where they're at now. So currently they're paying their workers less now, but if you know anything, the cost of everything goes up. So how do you continue to pay people less and less and less? And that is the issue. Any other questions? Question in the back.
When the county outsourced these jobs, it seemed like when the county had it, they were making $15. Now you're outsourcing it, and you're allowing someone to pay them $9 with no benefits, and they had benefits working for the county. The county has a right to stipulate in there what they want. If you want that contract, you're going to have to abide by some things. So is that what you're wanting us to say to help you on?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. You have it exactly right. A lot of these jobs have been privatized over the years. And privatization was always seen as this cost-saving measure that you could pay private companies to do the same work for less. And my issue isn't with privatization. My issue is the respect of those workers, right? At least paying them what they deserve to be paid, and following those agreements and those requirements is important. So, like we said, in enforcing this policy, our own Department of Audit would be able to monitor the payroll documents of those companies to make sure that they are paying their workers fairly and the agreed upon amount. But if we don't impose these regulations, they'll be able to have that open-ended argument that they can pay them whatever. And we know that our people in our community need to be able to provide for their families. One more question in the back. Okay.
The living wage, you said that it won't involve medical benefits, just wages. Mm-hmm. So what if people get sick? So, I mean, is that going to be another fight down the road? Or is that going to be part of the struggle later on?
Some people have talked about including paid sick days into the ordinance. The problem with paid sick days is that there's state law technically banning you from imposing paid sick days. So I talked about looking at history. There have been some fights where, you know, people have tried to do certain things on the local level, and then at the state level they'll say, no, you can't do that. And that was one of the instances. The paid sick day fight was a huge, huge issue several years ago and passed by referendum, but it wasn't supported on the local level to be imposed. The second thing that you bring up is healthcare. Thank God for President Obama. Thank God for President Obama. If anything that he's been able to accomplish, healthcare. The healthcare industry will have everything turned upside down thanks to the Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
And the so long profit-making industry where you would discriminate against people if they likely weren't going to make you money, a lot of that has been changed.
Yes.
So in October 1st, and this is the other huge issue that affects our community, because October 1st, the exchange opens for enrollment, where people can enroll into the exchange so they can be covered by January 1st. If they miss the window of enrolling in the Affordable Care Act, a health exchange program, they won't be able to sign up until the following October. The second thing you need to know about that is the state of Wisconsin, under your precious governor, decided not to accept the Affordable Care Act funds and not to manage the healthcare exchange, so that it will be in Wisconsin a federally managed healthcare marketplace, and which has its pros and cons. I hope that even without the state's help, that we can still get our community signed up for healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
With the last state budget, they kicked 90,000 people off of Badger Care. Some individuals won't find out they got kicked off of Badger Care until they're kicked off. There's a general letter that will go out in late September, so we're getting close, that says, you might be kicked off of Badger Care. That's all it tells you. You may be kicked off. Have a good day. There's no number to call. There's no... So if you ask me, they're creating chaos on purpose. This is nothing but a right-wing ploy to make it look like the Affordable Care Act doesn't work.
Okay.
Make it look like the Affordable Care Act nobody wants to have a part in. But our community needs to be covered.
That's right.
Come on.
We have a lot of individuals... And I know you have some healthcare connections, mental health care connections in Pastors United that are working furiously to make sure that we're on top of this issue. But individuals that don't have health care can't get mental health care. They can't get, if something happens to them, you know, they're not stuck with bills and things of that nature. So we need to make sure people are signed up. And it was an estimated 100,000 to 120,000 people in Milwaukee County alone that need to be signed up for health care.
That's right.
That is a huge task. How do you do that with six navigators provided by the state?
Right.
Wow.
Six
wow.
people.
Okay.
Two provided to Milwaukee County.
Right.
The other four all over the state. Six is a slap in the face.
Yes. Yes.
You have no respect for the people in this community to make sure the ones that you are kicking off your program to make sure that they can at least be covered by health care.
That's right.
This shouldn't even be an issue in our country.
That's right.
But we have people that say, no, you can't afford it on your own. It's not my problem.
Right.
Is that the community that we
want? Right.
Baffles me. It baffles me. So it will be an all hands on deck effort to make sure that the people in your congregations know that if they are on Badger Care, if they're uninsured, they need to understand this process. Healthcare.gov is the best resource that you can use to make sure people understand to be signed up for healthcare. And if you ask me, I think we need to send a message to the governor that he made a huge mistake.
Okay.
In the just legislation. So before I get on to healthcare, take it another direction, I want to make sure, is there any other questions? Okay. So I would ask, does this living wage ordinance sound like something that Pastors United should support?
Yeah.
If you guys have any other questions or anything, feel free to contact me directly. I'm always in communication with the Reverend, making sure that, you know, I'm seeking the insight and the guidance from great people, especially in Pastors United.
Amen.
Because you guys have such a huge role to play in this community and changing things of these issues that continue to plague us.
That's right.
And we need people to fight.
Amen.
You got people who take their coats off. And you got people who hold their coats, as one of my mentors puts it. And I don't hold coats.
Okay.
I try to throw it at somebody who can pass it, but you know, I'm in the battle. I'm in the trenches. So if you need anything from me, feel free to contact me directly. I hope that we can continue to collaborate with these efforts so that everybody in Milwaukee County and our congregations know that living wage ordinance at the Milwaukee County Board will be a great thing to pull people out of poverty who had been forgotten and abandoned for so long. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know many of us asked the question, well, why are we here this morning? But I think you have your answer. This is very important. And we're on the cutting edge, Pastors United, of a situation that is crucial. You know, we're not getting the news, we're helping make the news. And that's what's important about what we're doing. And our people perish from a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
We know that. And without a vision, we also perish. If we can't come together and put things together and focus on something, zero in and laser on something, if we can't do that, then we're not worthy. Mm-hmm. Our weight at all. This is what Pastors United is all about. We put this together quickly because someone called and said, hey man, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to have an organization that can mobilize quickly.
That's it.
This is Tuesday morning, and look at you out here. That's what Pastors United is all about. It's about organizing ourselves and getting ready on the spot.
That's right.
Not waiting for problems, but meeting them right where they are. This is what Pastors United is all about. Information is so key, and that's what we do. We share this information for our congregations. These are jobs that pay us well, these government jobs. We could never get no jobs that paid us well until government jobs came along.
That's right.
We can't lose ground on this. We've already lost enough. These people who are being treated this way are in your congregation.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why we're here this morning. We have such a significant role to play. And you know what? This is not playtime.
No,
that's
right. Not snapping fingers and dancing and hollering and screaming. This is time to do business.
Yes, sir.
It's time to do business together. It's time for you to work your plans, because we all have plans. But we need to work our plans together.
That's it.
We need to work our plans together. It reminds me in the book of Nehemiah, in the 3rd chapter, when they talked about who was on the side here, who was next to him, and what they did, and on and on and on and on. Everybody played a role.
That's it.
And everybody did the work.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the work to their best ability.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody hear me right now. We have so much talent right here in this room.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But we have to do the work to our best ability.
Yeah.
And we can't be worried about somebody else not working. And when you finish your work, you need to help somebody else get theirs done.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Pastors United is all about.
Amen.
Yes, we are building the wall.
Yes, sir.
We are building the temple.
That's all right.
We're coming back home, y'all.
Yeah.
We're getting elevated. You got to understand your elevation.
Right.
And you have to get ready for your blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
That means we can't fight the same anymore.
That's right.
We got to fight different now.
Yeah.
We got to train different now, y'all.
Yeah.
We got to pray, fast, and read your word, because we have to be ready for what's coming down, and we have to be strong, and we have to be strong at all times.
Amen.
We can't take a break right now.
No.
That's why we took a week or two to put all this together, because we needed to come together, get this information, support this man of God, and be ready to fight this battle.
Amen. Amen.
That's who we are. That's who we are. And if you know me, when stuff like this comes about, man, I get excited, because I see all the wrong. I see what it's doing to us. And I'm just really, I'm fed up with the way we get treated.
Yes, sir.
And if you can't stand up for something, if you can't stand up for the least of these, if you can't do that, why are you here? Because those are the ones who don't have a voice.
That's it.
Pastors United gives these people a voice.
Yeah.
That woman standing here with tears in her eyes, that's who we ought to be giving a voice. That man who can't pay his bills and he's working, that's who we should give a voice.
Yes.
And he's trying to work.
Yes, sir.
He ain't out trying to steal,
yes, sir,
kill, and destroy.
Yes, sir.
Sell the dope.
Yes, sir.
He's trying to work with God.
Yes, sir.
And we need to support that.
Amen.
We need to support that.
Yes.
I'm just excited about what's happening here, Supervisor.
Yes.
And we want to support you wholeheartedly. And we have a statement that we want to make here about how we want to work together. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to bring here Dr. Margaret Stone. And I have to say this. This all is in the hands of our Economic and Jobs Committee, who has worked hard. And they talked about a living wage. And then you called. That's just God.
Yeah.
That's just God. They said, we need to talk about a living wage. And then we got the message that, hey, something is on the way.
Amen.
And Pastor Stone helped to put all this together, along with members of the Economic Development Committee. And the chairman is sitting here, Mr. White, right there. And he has something else going on with the jobs and training that we need to be definitely cognizant of supporting that. But I don't want to get off here. I want to bring to you, I want to present to some and introduce to others our Dr. Margaret Stone. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As a representative of Pastors United Economic Development Committee, I thank God for this opportunity to speak to you today. Greetings to President Lewis, to the bishops, the county supervisors, the pastors, and my sisters and brothers. We have many concerns facing our community today. However, we are attempting to focus on 2 to 3 concerns. Our county supervisors are being attacked by political entities who care nothing about the betterment of Milwaukee. To the county supervisors, Pastors United are willing to support you and your efforts to help county workers maintain a family livable wage and benefits. God disturbed my spirit about a month ago that there are many ungodly Goliaths in America that have captured many in our community with minimum wages and part-time employment with no hope of a brighter day within their financial arena.
That's it.
As spiritual leaders, we have an obligation to care for the needs of the poor, and today it's not only feeding the poor and clothing the naked through our food pantries and clothing banks. Today, it's economics. Mm-hmm. It's the new change that's facing us, mm-hmm. our children, our grandchildren, and our sisters and brothers. We are the Davids of today.
All right.
That God is depending on the faith to bring hope to his people, to bring them up and out of poverty. Mm. Okay. We know the government cannot do it, and some government officials do not desire to assist those in our society who are on the bottom rung of the ladder.
It is so.
Now this burden, which is not truly a burden to spiritual leaders, for we are the change agents for our community.
All right.
Milwaukee is our community. And when one suffers, county supervisor, we all suffer.
Amen.
The financial success of a few have created billionaire giants.
That's it.
One of the ungodly giants that's among us is the big box retailer, who pay their employees minimum wages of $7.25 per hour. Yes, there are other billionaire giants in America. Consequently, these giants are determined not to give higher wages or create better working conditions for their employees that would be conducive to a successful family environment at the end of their workday. Some employees of the big box retailer work 50 to 60 hours a week with no overtime pay of time and a half.
That's right.
Pastors United Milwaukee, Wisconsin are supporting and standing with these employees in Wisconsin, requesting and supporting a wage increase similar to Chicago's request of $12.50 per hour across the board.
That's right.
For all employees. County Supervisor, I'm being redundant, stating that yes, Pastors United will support you. However, support is needed from you.
All right.
Pastors United have 1,000 men and women applicants who desire training in the skilled trades. The OMS program of Pastors United Economic Committee, Director Brother Ezra White, and committee members will be waiting for your assistance.
All right.
Pastor United knows that billions of dollars will be coming to Milwaukee this fall for construction jobs.
That's right.
Furthermore, we know that there are funds in the city and county coffers for special projects, and we need you.
All right.
County supervisors to direct funds to Pastors United and the OMS Skills Trade Program. All leaders in this room, if you are in support of Pastors United agenda for our community, please raise your hand.
All right.
So we may take a visual count for our records. If you have any questions, please, please, please send an email to the address that may be on your program. Thank you. And may God bless each of you and prosper you in your respective ministries. God bless, bless, bless. God bless you.
We don't have much longer, but what I want to do here is you have these sheets on your table. Pastor Boyd asked the question, what do we do? I think we have part of the answer right here. This sheet, Pastors Unite, yes, count on me to join county supervisors and low-income workers speaking out for a living wage ordinance in Milwaukee. I just want to take about 10 minutes at your table to discuss and fill this form out. Now, we want you to make sure that you fill it out and give it to us. Don't take it with you.
Amen.
Because on here will be your address, and we can let you know who your county supervisor is, so you can make phone calls and do other things to support this ordinance. So let's take like 10 minutes and just discuss among each other, but you have your nice Pastors United ink pens. Everybody, don't you? Use those to fill this out. Please. Not only do we want you to work with us in doing the work, but we also need the information here. Okay? So let's do that for 10 minutes. Amen? And I'll be back in 10.
You need to take it home and discuss it with your husband because you're not an entity, a single entity. You have a consult with your husband. And she said yes or no. You're a smart lady. Because you don't want to get an eviction notice. But I did hear that lady talk about how you're trying to make it and you just ain't making it. I mean, you just... You know, you're not making it. No matter what you do, you're not making it. So, education. But, I mean, it's a